hit me a few years ago that everyone in this town has a political action committee that elects good guys that advance their agenda and unelects the bad guys when they fight against them. Everyone has that. You know, you have the big pharma, big oil, big tech, big business. You got all these bigs, but there's no big family. And we're changing that. So we want to organize parents and families in politics to take back control of their kids' education, take back control of their kids' innocence.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
When we meet with politicians on both sides of the aisle regarding protecting our kids online, they tell us the lamest excuses for why they can't protect our kids. I have a 10-year-old daughter, Reagan, and a 15-year-old daughter, Grace. We're all Cubs fans. My kids can't go to DraftKings.com and place a $10 bet on the Cubs to win the World Series, but they can access a lot of really graphic and explicit content online, and there's no age verification. So we need to change that system and update it, make it more friendly for families and children across the board.
So true. He's speaking the truth. Who was that? Well, that's the president of the American Principles Project, Mr. Terry Schilling, and he joins us on the show. Good talking there. Way to go. Welcome, Terry.
Trevor, I need to hire you guys to do a demo reel for us to get this in front of donors. Thanks so much for putting this together.
Well, your demo reel would be a lot longer than Chris Wallace on CNN Plus, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Hey,
that's...
you did a great commercial. You were going all around your house. That was a very well. You don't need us. I saw you hired somebody, or whether that was really good. You walking around your house with your kids standing up at the table in the chair. Did your wife let them do that at the dining room table like that?
No, that's where I come in to crack the whip. You know, I wrote that ad myself, and I based it off of an ad that the Cheerios company did. They were, you know, selling, you know, using fatherhood to sell, you know, sugared oats. And I thought, you know, if they can use fatherhood and how attractive that is and how fun it is and great it is to sell, you know, cereal, let's use it to sell America. Let's use it to sell the American family. And, you know, so it was a lot of fun to write and do. And I encourage everyone to go check it out at savethefamily.app.
Yes, it's really good. Say that again out loud again, Terry, again.
It's just savethefamily.app.
All right, .app. Well, you said fatherhood, but I guess you're still assuming that they're your kids. Do I hear that in your voice? Those are your children? Because Joe Biden has told us, and so many in the media, right, that those aren't our kids. Before we jump into it, let's go ahead, and for those that might not have heard what Joe Biden stated as he was talking to teachers, let's listen.
You've heard me say it many times about our children, but it's true. They're all our children. And the reason you're the teachers of the year is because you recognize that. They're not somebody else's children. They're like yours when they're in the classroom.
All right. I think there might have been a time period where children were everybody's children, right? You could discipline them in 1958 down the street, right? Well, good. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you doing that for me. Today, we have a whole different opinion, don't we? You know, it takes a village is the new concept.
Well, that's right, and this is something that progressives have been working toward for the last, you know, century, essentially. These people, they, you know, Melissa Harris Perry, former MSNBC host, said it best and summed up the progressive viewpoint, which is, we have this misconception that, you know, children belong to their parents. They really belong to society, and we need to start moving in that direction. Joe Biden is basically just taking this the next step further. Because he's the president of the United States. He's not just some anchor on a liberal left-wing TV channel. They do believe that children belong to society, not to their parents. A lot of them believe that parents who are raising their children with traditional values, taking them to church on Sunday, teaching them that there are two genders and you can't change it, they think those parents are a threat. And they want to punish those parents and instill these progressive woke values in children in our public schools with our tax dollars. They want to use our tax dollars against us to create this woke utopia that they're aiming for. And it's a real threat, and I'm hoping that we can wake enough parents up to take away a lot of political power from these guys, because they're going to inflict a lot of damage if we don't stop them.
Terry, parents are waking up, and we've had a few elections that have been able to show that they're waking up. With Virginia, we saw that, and even closer to home for us here in San Francisco, of all places. Boy, they got so mad at that school board, they recalled three of them. So we have yet to really been able to have the playoffs to see who's truly winning. We're feeling this swell, aren't we? I tell you, moms are really standing up. What is it, like 185,000 of them now, with some mom group that have organized around America to get in there and stand up to these school boards?
No, that's exactly right. And frankly, you know, I'm a dad. I think dads are important. But when it comes to taking back our kids' education, and when it comes to turning this country around, moms are going to do it. Because mom, you know, they get compared to mama bears, right? Like, you ever see like a bear cub crying for its mom? That mama bear comes barreling out of the woods ready to rip anyone's face off that's in the vicinity of that baby bear. And that's what these moms are waking up to. They're going to be the ones that are punishing these guys. But I really want to reiterate the threat here. These not only do these people not believe that our children belong to them, to us as parents, they want to instill an anti-human worldview into them, where everyone's divided, everyone's individualized, everyone is just living their lives by themselves on their own island, and no one owns anything. It's really tragic, and that's the utopia, the dystopia, really, that they want to move towards, and they can't get it done without destroying the American family. This has been the goal of Marxism for a very long time, and these Marxist activists have been very clear about that.
Well, that's why I was screaming at city council here when they gave a Black Lives Matter day here in Fresno. I'm like, have you looked at their national plank? Don't you see they want to destroy the Western nuclear family? Boy, they've really turned it up. My guest is Terry Schilling, the president of the American Principles Project. And Terry, I like your lineup of what you want to go after. And due to our time constraints, I want to just focus in on one of these. You guys talk about school choice, transgender rights, critical race theory, and protecting kids online. Every time we have our Fresno County Sheriff on, Sheriff Margaret Mins, we always end our interview, and I always tell her to please, Sheriff, reiterate. She goes, parents, look at what your kids are on their phone, their laptops, on their tablets. You have to do that. And I'm so glad you're bringing up protecting kids online, and I liked your Chicago Cubs betting on them analogy.
Well, number one, I wouldn't recommend betting on the Chicago Cubs.
No.
Any world championships anytime soon.
And at the American Principles Project, we do encourage kids to start an early life of gambling.
That's right. No, but we live in this crazy world that these companies, these corporations have just taken advantage of, right? Like, the Supreme Court in 1997 in the ACLU versus Reno case said that we couldn't regulate porn online. We couldn't protect children and do age verification because that would pose an undue burden on people who want to consume pornography. In what world do the rights of pornography consumers trump the innocence of children? Right. This is not a good government that we have had for a while. This is not smart governance, even at a minimum. Right, we have to protect kids, and if our kids can't go online to buy tobacco products, to buy alcohol, to play sports bets, which those three things I think are actually a bit less harmful than pornography online, especially for like an 11-year-old, then you know we have to even the playing field and treat these adult industries all equally. And it's, look, I tell parents, do not give your kids a smartphone. It is essentially child abuse. Even if they aren't looking at porn, even if they're just on social media, you're abusing your kid. They're being psychologically damaged and addicted to these algorithms and platforms that they've designed to be addictive.
Let's all say it into the mirror to ourselves. Terry, I've mentioned on this show, I'm starting this on the weekend. I'll let the people like my mom and dad and people I know, I have this home phone that never rings, but if the world blows up, you need me, call me on the home phone. But I take that smartphone, I turn the power off, and I put it in a drawer. And it's a weird feeling, too, because you think, okay, I can forget that on a Saturday. Let's watch March Madness. And suddenly, at the second quarter, you're going, I want to go check it. No, I'm not. It's a weird feeling that we all have inside us.
Right. No, we are all we're basically cell phone social media junkies, right? I find myself, there was a study that came out that suggested that Americans on average touch their cell phone 2,000 times a day. 2,000 times a day. And I would sort of think about myself, I think, yeah, that's probably about right for me. And it's not good for anyone. They are tracking everything you're looking at. They are tracking everything you're clicking, everything you're typing, and they're advertising. They're selling you, right? We talk about data. It's not data. It's you. It's your thoughts. It's how you operate. It's your patterns, and they're selling that to the highest bidders and just profiting.
Imagine last weekend we were in a parade, and we walked the parade route. And I just, conversation on the phone, maybe with a neighbor, some talked about how on Sunday my legs were hurting me from all the walking. I must have said, I was walking. What kind of ads did I start getting Monday? Hey, walk 5 to 6 minutes a day for your health. I'm like, whoa, it's always listening to me.
Yep. Yeah. No, and look, I'll come clean on something. So my wife and I are expecting number six, our little baby girl at the end of May. Before she knew she was pregnant, we were getting ads for, pregnancy tests and all this stuff. So it's like these algorithms can pick up by what you're Googling, what you're searching, and where you're located. They know. They've got this stuff down to a science. It's really scary, and it's really, really sick.
Hey, congratulations on the basketball team with one on the bench.
Thank you. My kids are very, very excited. We're all very, very excited. We look at children as a blessing from the Lord, right? And my wife and I had early conversations in our marriage. We're just going to take as many kids as God gives us. We're letting God be in charge of who lives and who dies. And we're just going to, if he's going to send us kids, he better help us take care of them.
Terry, you live life. Way to go. And we know that these kids and us, it's a spiritual battle that's going on. There's a spirit of defiance that is out there that is so, so clear. But when you talk about family, and I heard you on Fox News talking about this, about American Principles Project, you're a family pack. You want to develop a pack. And you understand the spiritual battle. You're Catholic. You get it. But you're saying it's for everybody, man. Muslims, Jews, Hindus, atheists, if you want your family to be protected from transgender rights and CRT and kids online and interested in school choice, I think that was a pretty good choice by you to do it that way.
Yeah, look, the family is a universal truth, right? And I am Catholic, and I think that the Catholic Church has the truest teachings imaginable. And so because of that, I don't need to cite the Bible or cite Catholic teaching to back up my claims. I just need to go and share that with the world, because I am a populist. And what I mean by that is, I think that if you explain the truth and make a solid argument to the average human being, the average American that isn't brainwashed, I think they're going to come to your side. I think that they can see. And that's what America was founded on, right? So I tell people, the family is such an incredible institution because it's naturally beautiful. Even if you're 200 pounds overweight, covered in acne, covered in face tattoos, there's something beautiful about a father holding his daughter. There's something beautiful about a father playing catch with his son. It's attractive. People are drawn to it, and people want that. People want that. Even progressives want their own kids. They just don't know, and that's why they're targeting our kids, to indoctrinate them. We have this primal instinct, this primal desire to reproduce and have children of our own. And the problem with progressives is they aren't having their own children, so they're coming for ours. So, we just focus on the family as a naturally beautiful institution that everyone should be a part of. I look at my generation, Trevor, and we aren't getting married. We aren't having kids. What's the point of life? I mean, family is why you go to that dead-end job and work that shift you don't want to.
Likes. Likes. That's the point. Sacrifice. That's the point of life. Yes, what's the point of life? To get likes.
Right. No, that's right. That's the way the world has gone, and it's sad, and they're missing out on something beautiful.
Terry, maybe 10, 12 years, I've been predicting and hoping that it would happen. You know, in the 60s, you had the commune hippies who rejected all the transistor radios and all the new technology of the day, right? And went out and became hippie and didn't want to be like mom and dad and grandpa. Will we see, do you think, now that grandma and grandpa and everybody is so tech advanced, is there going to be a future generation that might get away from it? Hey, are there any young people that are going, I don't want this, or have we lost them?
No, look, there's what I've noticed among my group of friends is that they're getting married and they're having a lot more kids than just one or two. Right, so like my.
Well, you're
my,
Catholic. You're Catholic. Come on.
I have a lot of friends who aren't Catholic. Actually, a few of my Baptist friends, they've adopted the same philosophy, and this has actually come from just having conversations, discussing family. You know, having five kids with your six on the way, you can imagine it generates a lot of questions and a lot of conversation. Like, how do you do that? Like, are you doing that?
Terry, I had five. I have five. And I call people the fertility police in public, right? They're like, hey, you know how that happens, don't you? And you're like, yeah. It's like, really? I know exactly. I'm picking up what you're throwing down. I think people are rude about it.
Well, you know, I have fun with it. So I'm the oldest of 10. And I got to hear every line in the book, every good response from my father. So,
well, were some of his. You remember some of his?
Oh, yeah. I use them all the time. So, you know, they say, well, don't you know what causes that? And it's like, yeah, it's really fun. Are you sure you're doing it wrong? Right? Like, or they say, yeah, don't you have a TV? Like, yeah, this is a lot better and more fun than TVs. Like, I mean, you know, there's just little things. And, oh, my dad also used to say, you know what? I can't keep her off me. I get home from work. I'm tired. I want to get to bed. And, you know, he had little isms, you know, that he would say. And
well, he was nicer
laugh.
Than me. I would say, like, where's your gun? Where's your gun? They'd be like, what? I'd be like, well, you're a fertility cop, aren't you? Yeah, maybe I should have been nicer about it. But, yeah, it depended what mood I was in. Terry, great conversation. The American Principles Project. If you're a Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu, atheist family who wants to protect your kids, how do they join you, man? How do they hook up with you?
The best way is to sign up for our Big Family program. You know, there's Big Pharma, Big Oil, and Big Family. And you can do that at savethefamily.app. That's our membership platform. You can find out all about us there. They've got the video there with me walking through the house with my kids and explaining what we do. We just want to make politicians pay a price when they hurt our families and they steal the innocence of our kids. And we also want to be a cavalry for the good guys who are doing the right things to protect our kids. It's that simple. There's a reason why corporate America has a special interest group for everything they do, and we need to have families have a special interest group too, because public policy matters and the law matters, and politics is part of the American culture here.
Well, she's pregnant, and you have five more. You better hang up and go help her.
Thanks so much for having me, Trevor.
Terry, thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. The American Principles Project, SaveTheFamily.app. What is a two-spirited person? Well, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services explained it, and I'll explain it to you next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, if you want to find out more again, I really like that interview with Terry Schilling, and I've really been impressed with the American Principles Project. We had a guest on earlier in the week from them as well, didn't we? Yeah, we did. Yeah. They're a great organization, man. And if you'd like, SaveTheFamily.app, SaveTheFamily.app. We're going to talk tomorrow to Dinesh D'Souza. 2,000 Mules is the brand new movie. I'm calling it a movie. They're docudramas, but I'll ask him on the interview if he you know, has the actors doing the whole docudrama, or if this is more of a straight up documentary. They had to win that election because, as we know, the left loves what?
The left loves free speech too, don't we?
Yeah, don't you? I think you do. I really do. All the new terms that are out, LGBTQIA+, non-binary, right? We got a new one to try on for size now. It's called two-spirit people. And that's how the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services explains it. They're not saying it's like Native American spirit. It's the non-binary aspect of this. I kind of look at that two-spirit thing. That's kind of demonic-like is how I look at it. And speaking of, and schools, I gave you the good news, right, that a school back east in Pennsylvania had stopped the Satanic Temple who were trying to get a, hey, kiddos, join us. We got cookies and punch and cotton candy. Join us for the after-school Satan Club. The Satanic Temple were kicked out of that elementary school, and they filed a lawsuit. The school board voted no to their after-school Satan Club. It's America. We have rights. How dare they deny children learning about Satanism like that? Come on. It's not their first attempt. They've been doing this all over America. The Satanic Temple actually hosts after-school Satan Clubs and other areas that allow Beelzebub into the hallways. Yeah. They got fun posters and everything, man. They got it going on, right? Because if you're another organization, if you're Fellowship of Christian Athletes and you want to have an after-school club, or you're the Latin club or whatever club that you are, why can you do it and Satan worshipers aren't allowed to do it? Well, here's the spokesperson of the Satanic Temple. Do you think this is a Hollywood name he made up, or do you think Mama and Dad Greaves gave him the name Lucian? Lucian Greaves. And that kind of screams Satanist. But he told Fox News, he said, it's going to be costly for the school and the community to continue with litigation should they still bar the after-school Satan Club. That's kind of what I thought his voice would sound like. He said, if they deny us the use of a public facility, which they have no right to do, I'll have to move into litigation, costly litigation that the community is going to have to pay for. Ha, ha, ha. So they tried him in the pocketbook, get him scared of a lawsuit, and then they'll just cave. I think the, what was that, Michael Reagan Jr.'s, the he said, I'll see you in hell. They're the anti-God people. They're going to... Ronald Reagan Jr. What did I say? Michael, he's a talk show. Ronald Reagan Jr. Thank you, Agent Squires. I think they went after Clovis out here about a prayer before something. They do it, and they go after high schools that might have a prayer at the middle or a scripture verse written in the end zone. I think they went after a school in Texas about that, and then they just drill them down, and then you got the leaders that are afraid of being litigated. The After School Satan Club, after school program, it promotes self-directed education by supporting the intellectual and creative needs of students. That's what the devil worshipers wrote. They said the After School Satan Club meets at select public schools where the Good News Clubs also operate. That's a religious club, right? I'm sure they're just innocently talking to kids about, you know, the benefits of, you know, worshiping yourself. It's all about self. Worship the devil. There you go. So they're going to call it back into court. And I'm just going to admit I haven't done it yet. I did not delete my Netflix yet. I hadn't done it, but I am. Hopefully by this time tomorrow I'll remember. Agent Squires, could you call me tonight? I'm going to set an alarm to remind me to call you for you to remind me to delete it. Good. That's how I'll remember. Netflix has dropped. Disney stock has dropped. Twitter leftists are calling Twitter evil now towards women. I hadn't heard that until recently. And now Spotify, home of Joe Rogan, they decided to... What? They're not going to renew the Obama's podcast? Maybe it has something to do with the lack of audience or something. I tell you, something's afoot out there. Something's happening, and it's feeling good.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Tomorrow on the show, Dinesh D'Souza, 2,000 Mules. It'll be out here in just a few days, and you'll be able to get it online or be able to get the DVD. We'll get to talk to him tomorrow on the show at 4 o'clock. And at 5:30 tomorrow, Friday, we'll talk with Steve Hilton, California Rebel Podcast and Fox News as well. So some good guests on the show tomorrow. And if you missed Terry Schilling, president of the American Principles Project, you missed a good one at 4. Their website, savethefamily.app. Of course, podcast always available at powertalk967.com. I didn't know until this last week here that Twitter was as well. I knew that they were against, you know, freedom of speech and anything that was godly, God, country, or constitution. You know, they would squash it. I had no idea, though, they were so anti-woman. And we do, we, those on the right, we still know the difference between a man and a woman. That's what they're talking about here.
I'm going to take away the guardrails. And I think it's going to be scary to a lot of women because there have been some surveys done and 38% of women around the world have said that they have been on the receiving end of a lot of abuse on Twitter. 85% of women have said that they have seen the abuse.
And it's also become, as we just saw in this clip, it's become a platform for a lot of misogyny. A lot of women get treated very badly on Twitter.
Speech, yeah, defamation,
so I don't see misogyny.
Say, for example, women on the platform or journalists on the platform and the amount of trolls and abuse and harassment that they get. He might not have to live with that necessarily, but what is he not getting about his vision of free speech?
I don't know, because we know free speech. The left loves it.
The left loves free speech, too, don't we?
FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr rejected a call from the leftist think tank to intervene in the purchase of Twitter from us, calling the organization's concern frivolous, said the FCC Commissioner. He released a press release. They did. This group calling on the FCC, the DOJ, to block it in the name of neutrality. They said must take over poses a number of immediate and direct threats to American democracy and free speech. Suddenly, boy, they're interested in that old free speech. Isn't that something? They're now interested in it. Okay, there you go. FCC Commissioner Carr said the leftist think tank's position was absurd. We got the Senator Ed Markey of Massachusetts called on the government to block the deal in the name of, ready, algorithmic justice. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah, he claimed that white supremacy is somehow involved. Well, we know it is. We know it is. We know Twitter's nothing but just men whose skin pigmentation is white, I guess, white, and don't like to have sex with other men.
Twitter is not the real world. And in fact, on Twitter, it is predominantly straight white men. It seems to me that it's about free speech of straight white men. And so let them have it. Let them just go at it.
Let them go at it, baby. Jimmy Kimmel thought that he got former President Trump in a moment, and he was making fun of Truth Social, the app. And this was good news to hear. They said a review of the App Store found that Truth Social has taken the number one free app spot. Twitter down to number two. TikTok's at number five. And before, I guess, he knew that news, Jimmy Kimmel claimed that Truth Social is such a disaster that he himself, meaning Trump, hasn't even posted on it for 11 weeks. It is a, I think we call this in marketing, a soft launch, because they got a lot of money. You know that they're getting ready to do it correctly. A hard launch where it's in everybody's face, right? I've gotten emails through the whole Trump email chain thing that everybody that's, you know, ever gave him $5 or bought a hat's on, right? And they overdo it. It's so overdone. And they try and do it with fake ways. Like, I think it's somebody else asking me some question. You know how they get real creative to get you to just to click on it. And then I'm like, they got me again. But now I know. I can kind of see into it. And not that I don't want contact, but not 10 a day. It's too much. So we'll see what the launch is about, but that's good news to hear. Number one free app out there. Folks are getting involved, and that's good. But again, President Trump said he's not going to tweet again if Elon Musk says, hey, you can come back to Twitter. Well, of course he wouldn't. That's competition, right? That is competition. Well, they both believe in free speech. Well, good. Little Debbie's and Hostess both believe in tasty cakes, but they're not going to promote the other's brand, right? No. He said, I'm not going to go on Twitter. I'm going to stay on Truth. I hope Elon buys Twitter because he'll make improvements to it, and he's a good man, and I'm going to be staying on Truth. Good way to handle that. So we'll see. Former President Trump said he's going to be active, again, using Truth Social over the next week, he said. And it was launched last month, beta tested in February, operated by our former congressman, Devin Nunes here. Trump said, we're taking in millions of people. We're finding that the response on Truth is much better than being on Twitter. He said, Twitter has bots and fake accounts, and we're doing everything we can. You do know that was probably the worst news at True Social around the conference room table, that this buyout thing, he's going to buy them, was happening. Capitalism is on. You got two great capitalists at work, and that's great. That's America. Whoever develops the best product's going to win. Whoever hits the most home runs over the fence is going to win the game. And you got Trump versus Musk. I like that. That's only good going to come out of both. It's good to have competition. It's good to have somebody nipping at your heels, right? I think it is. Musk tweeted that Trump's platform has a terrible name. Now, see, Trump did it. I said that was the right way. He's a good guy and all this. Musk said it's a terrible name, and he said it should be called Trumpet instead. You know, not a bad idea. See, the two could work together like that, cooperate together, come up with some great names. Hey, man, did you send that out on Trumpet? I blasted it. Yeah, see, there's the commercial right there. I blasted it. Yeah, that's what needs to happen. Musk tweeted, True Social's currently beating Twitter and TikTok on the Apple Store. True Social, he said, parentheses, terrible name, exists because Twitter censored free speech. So he's saying if we don't censor free speech, it's not going to exist. So you got to read into that, right? He said, all right. I got to admit, at the start, I had trouble remembering the name. Truth Social. I wanted to think Trump first, like Trump would always be in my head. It's Truth Social. I think it needed just one name. One name would have been right. Trump It. I like that, Squires. Trumpit. And the logo would be capital T and then small case Rump and then capital I, small t. Trump It. I like that. Send that out to him. There you go. Copyright that first, then send that out to him. Right. Somebody's already on it. See what I'm saying? They're on a domain name. Somebody go buy the domain name right now. There you go. And then send it to Trump and go, I got it. I bought it. Cut me in like I work at a convenience store and I sold you the lottery ticket if he buys it from me. Would you cut me in the 10% like the guy at the store? Let's see. Barack Obama, this is Breitbart reporting here, has the most popular account on Twitter, more than 131 million followers. How many did he lose overnight? 300,000 overnight. I didn't know. Man, she's popular. The third most popular Twitter account with 108 million. Now, Obama's number one with 131 million. Number three is Katy Perry. Now, American Idol judge. Okay. I guess that probably boosts that up a little. But she lost 200,000. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia, she gained 100,000 overnight. In just 24 hours, there's some shifting going on, definitely. And if you don't believe me that there's not such a thing called the East Coast 2 a.m., cultural Marxist, teleprompter, Democrat talking points that go out. These are all the local affiliates from these big networks, like in Fresno or Providence, Rhode Island, or Augusta, Georgia.
This is extremely dangerous to our democracy.
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 So you're going to tell me all these local TV hosts woke up in the morning, 3 a.m., driving into the station on an I-95 in Providence or I-5 going to Sacramento, and they all had that same thought, that Elon Musk buying Twitter, dangerous to democracy. Well, I'll be.
The left loves free speech, too, don't we?
In the arena of signs of the times going on, and this is in a good way. This is a good way, because things are starting to level off some. Not enough, but some here. Spotify, they hung strong with Joe Rogan. He took a mild, you know, as all the purgings have gone on. He was strong enough, and well, let's just admit it, he made the company enough money. That's what it boils down to. Spotify did not want to lose the Joe Rogan cash machine. So they held strong with him when he was under attack for, I don't know, saying don't wear a mask. Now, Spotify also has a deal with Obama and Lady Obama, and they do the podcast. Their production company is called Higher Ground, and Spotify has declined renewal of that. Well, probably didn't have the audience. He was, well, it was an 8-part episode series. I don't know why they would have, who tunes in? I don't know, but the Obamas are now in discussion with several companies to have their podcast done. Yeah. We'll see where that ends up here. The left are attacking Musk and Twitter for saying he's not paying his fair share in taxes. And the minute that went out on Twitter, you know what folks said? Now, Elon Musk didn't respond to this, but people that know, they said Elon Musk paid $11 billion in taxes last year. That's the largest tax bill in U.S. history, according to CNBC. But you had Senator Elizabeth Prison Warden out there going after him by saying he doesn't pay enough taxes. Can you imagine if your tax bill was $11 billion? Woo! First quarter GDP. It drops. That's so Biden administration-ish, isn't it? I'll give you those new numbers next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
Hey, vote for good old Joe. He's figuring it all out down in his basement. And if he wins, the economy, COVID's going to go away. How are we going to make COVID go away? He's just going to wear a mask for 100 days and it's going to go away. Okay, how'd that old economic news come out today?
The gross domestic product shrank at a 1.4% pace on an annual basis in the first quarter. Economists were predicting growth would slow down early this year, though the forecast was not for a decline. A couple of factors also impacted businesses at the start of the year: slower investment in inventory and the U.S. importing more than in exports.
All right. Can I just go ahead and put it in real simple terms? Terms that a third grader could understand, maybe a second grader. Beef top ramen. Did I send you the picture, Squires? I didn't. I took it. Maybe it was too early in the morning when I was shopping to text it. 48 cents. Top ramen. They used to be a dime ten for a buck. And I'm going to say that was probably in Obama's first term, you know, maybe 18 cents. And if I've been a big top ramener, if I've ever had a job where I didn't want to leave work for lunch and I didn't, to have that in a cabinet somewhere and to put it, and the best way to do it, of course, is to put it in the bowl, a little water, microwave, 2-3 minutes, get it out, drain the water, drain all that. Some people like their top ramen soupy. I like mine a little runny, but listen, you drain the water, then you put the butter, margarine, whatever in it, and then the hot sauce. A little dab, 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 butter, hot sauce. Maybe a little water if you want it. Stir that up, grab some crackers, a Dr. Pepper, you're good. You're off to work. But at 48 cents, almost fell down in the food for less food aisle when I saw that. That to me right there said more than what? A used car? 62,000, seeing top ramen right there. So that's the way to judge it these days. When you go to the store this weekend, see if top ramen is more than 48 cents. Imports, exports, it's all going. And the supply chain, an old buddy of mine, actually he was the old music director, D95 back in the day. He was a long haul trucker and he still does it regionally. And I said, how's the supply chain? He said, believe it or not, it's gotten a little better in the last few weeks. Okay, we'll see. Judge it by Top Ramen. Just in the nick of time, DHS sets up the Disinformation Governance Board. Well, doesn't that sound kind of Third Reich? Yeah, next.